In a survey of producers in the fall of 2024, 98% of producers said that swine health was one of the most important aspects impacting the business going forward. And we know that swine health is a key to profitable production. And so kind of with that as the backdrop, and really last March at the National Pork Industry Forum, the delegate body there put forward an advisement asking for the development of a national swine health strategy. And that coincided with the completion of a strategic plan that the National Pork Board completed, also asking for the development of a national swine health strategy. So that's what's led us up to the prompt to develop this.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Hi-D is a pure, effective 25-hydroxy D3 solution to help pigs improve their vitamin D status. Improve bone health and lifetime productivity with Hi-D. Learn more at dsm-firmenich.com/hy-d. Adiseo provides programs and services to help producers achieve their targets in high-quality, safe, and sustainable way. BinSentry, the most trusted feed monitoring solution in the world. Healthier pigs are good for producers, people, profits, and planet. The National Pork Board is committed to improving the health of the U.S. swine herd. Learn more at porkcheckoff.org.
Essential Ag Solutions, bringing innovative science-based solutions to livestock producers.
Hi there. Welcome to the Swine It podcast. I'm Dr. Tara Donovan, your host, and today I have Dr. Dustin Odakovin as my guest. Dusty serves as the chief veterinarian for the National Pork Board, where he leads a team of veterinarians and swine production experts in the Pork Checkoff funded work for pork producers, including foreign animal disease preparedness, protecting the U.S. herd from African swine fever, and developing a national swine health strategy. Welcome to the Swine It podcast, Dr. Odakovin.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Donovan. Really appreciate the opportunity to be on your podcast today.
So today on our show, we're going to be discussing the development of the National Swine Health Strategy. But before we begin, Dusty, tell us a little bit more about your background and your career path that led you to your current position at the National Pork Board.
Yeah, so I am a graduate of Iowa State University's College of Veterinary Medicine. Before that, I was at South Dakota State for undergrad. I'm a South Dakota native, still live there. Served for a long time as the state veterinarian in South Dakota, and not a career path I probably chose for myself. But as things go, it turned out to be a really good career path for me and exposed me to a lot of a lot of different disease control programs, working with producers, working with different groups of people, of course, legislators and other state and federal agencies. And so, with that experience, I was happy to come to the National Pork Board at a time when African swine fever virus was the biggest threat to the industry, which still is a significant threat to the industry. We're fortunate that we haven't seen a case of it here. That's the background that I brought with me to this role is working with different groups of producers and preparedness on a broad scale for foreign and emerging diseases.
Yeah, absolutely. What an important area. So we're going to start off our discussion today about the National Swine Health Strategy. But before we begin with that, take a little bit of time and tell us about your role at the National Pork Board, and then how the board contributes to research and education in swine health in general. And then we'll jump into the specific topic.
Yeah, well, thanks. Well, I have a really fun role at the National Pork Board leading the swine health team. And we've got a great team of veterinarians. We also work with our sustainability team, which consists of nutritionists and animal welfare experts, environmental science experts, experts in public health and swine health. And so we really enjoy our role of working on behalf of producers on behalf of the 60,000 producers that pay into the checkoff to identify challenges that producers are having and to, put their checkoff dollars to work, answering the questions that they have through research and then providing information and education back to the producers and the production systems to help them improve their production practices And so that's really a lot of fun to work on behalf of producers every day and help them identify their challenges. And that's really where we're going with this National Swine Health Strategy.
The National Pork Board partners with producers, veterinarians, state pork associations, and others across the swine industry to improve the lives of pigs and people. Through collaboration, education, and support for ongoing research, NPB drives progress and helps strengthen the industry's future. Learn more at porkcheckoff.org.
Yeah, great, great lead-in. So let's jump into that. So tell us about the National Swine Health Strategy, so what it is, and then jump into, you know, who's involved in it and what the goals are.
Yeah, so I think at the basic level, it comes down to, you know, just dealing with the recognition that we can improve on swine health in the U.S. Pork industry. We have a lot of good things going for us. You know, for example, we don't have many of the transboundary and foreign animal diseases that that plague other parts of the world. So, you know, we don't have foot and mouth disease. We don't have African swine fever virus, classical swine fever virus. Those are the three big diseases that are reportable through the World Organization of Animal Health that can impact trade. And of course, keeping our export markets open is extremely important. In 2024, the U.S. pork industry exported nearly 30% of its production, and the value of that was estimated to be about $8.6 billion. And so, you know, it's really important that we continue to maintain freedom from those transboundary and foreign animal diseases, and that's really been the focus of the Pork Board efforts for swine health, really since about 2018, when we saw African swine fever virus diagnosed or found in China, and it spread rapidly across Southeastern Asia and into Europe. And of course, we've just seen a steady march and expansion of that disease across much of Europe, Asia, other parts of the world. And so that's been the primary focus of the Pork Checkoff for some time, is providing information for producers on how they can best be prepared for a foreign animal disease, how we can keep it out, and then how we can be prepared to respond through enhanced biosecurity plans, traceability of their pigs, having the ability to collect samples for enhanced surveillance if needed through this Certified Swine Sample Collector Training Program. Laddering those tools up into the U.S. Swine Health Improvement Plan. And so all of that's been a very coordinated approach to preparing for the potential for an African swine fever outbreak. But in the midst of all of that good work, you know, I think there was a recognition that, hey, you know, while we have all this other, you know, we have the benefit of not having these transboundary animal diseases, we also have good genetics, good nutrition, good innovation in new barn technologies, great access to quality veterinary care and excellent diagnostic facilities. And we have an increasing trend in pigs per sow per litter. But despite all of that, we still have a pretty significant morbidity and mortality problem. And I think it was with that recognition that we look at, where are we at with morbidity and mortality? How do we stack up against some of these other countries that are similar in production to the U.S. and recognizing that, you know, we have room for improvement there. In a survey of producers in the fall of 2024, 98% of producers said that swine health was one of the most important aspects impacting the business going forward. And we know that swine health is a key to profitable production. And so kind of with that as the backdrop, and really last March at the National Pork Industry Forum, the delegate body there put forward an advisement asking for the development of a national swine health strategy. And that coincided with the completion of a strategic plan that the National Pork Board completed, also asking for the development of a national swine health strategy. So that's what's led us up to the prompt to develop this.
So Dusty, walk us through the first steps taken, including the survey, because you talked about a survey that you sent out, and that's what led this initiative to kind of work on I would call them domestic diseases and just swine health within the U.S., not forgetting, right, the preparedness and all the important steps on preventing foreign animal disease. But let's work on the health domestically and how can we improve. So tell me about the survey a little bit more. What were the first steps taken? Who was the target for the participants for the survey? And then we can get into what happens next.
Yeah, that's a great question. So the survey was designed in response to that advisement asking for the development of a national swine health strategy. Specifically, it asked for the development of a producer-led national swine health strategy. And so we want to focus on the fact that this really is based on producer needs, producer-identified challenges. And so, of course, what we needed to do was hear from the producers. And in the background, as you mentioned, was, hey, we need to continue to keep tabs on foreign animal diseases, emerging diseases, but we also need to, you know, find a way forward to tackle some of these endemic disease challenges. It's not only disease related. You know, we've got other swine health issues that, you know, it's not all related to drugs and bugs, as we say. There are genetic factors, nutritional factors, management factors that can impact swine health. And so we wanted to find out from producers what are their biggest swine health challenges. And so we designed the survey to ask them, you know, basically two questions. What are your biggest swine health challenges? And the survey allowed for up to three responses. And then as a follow-up, what can be done or what would producers expect could be done in response to these swine health challenges? And we weren't asking within the narrow scope, I say narrow, but we were asking producers to think beyond just what the National Pork Board could do, but really from an industry-wide perspective, because we, of course, don't work alone. We work with our partners at NPPC, with the American Association of Swine Veterinarians, you know, with our partners at the Swine Health Information Center, academia, government organizations, research organizations. You know, we have a lot of collaborators in the swine health space. And I think that's one of the things that was being asked for in the development of this strategy is how can we coordinate our efforts? How can we collaborate to ensure that we're not duplicating efforts, but also so we get the maximum impact of the work that many people are doing, like the good work that's being done out there. So we launched the survey at World Pork Expo in the first week of June this year. And we continue to collect surveys, either web-based or sometimes in one-on-one conversations with producers or through listening sessions with producer groups or with veterinary service providers or with, you know, production systems. We set the cutoff date for information collection in September 1st. So 90 days, 3 months worth of information collecting. We received 822 survey responses, and we conducted 47 listening sessions that included over 1,000 people in attendance at those 47 listening sessions. 68% of our responses came from producers, and which is good. And that was our target really was to reach producers. And of course, other important responses came from veterinarians, genetic companies, regulatory agencies such as state animal health officials, but by and large, our largest percentage of responses were from producers, and we further broke that up into independent producers, integrated producers, show pigs, small niche producers. So we heard from a broad representation of the industry, which I think was really important, and. You know, it may not surprise you that, you know, a large percentage of the responses came back saying PERS is the number one challenge. PED was also listed as a large challenge. We had a number of other responses too, including poor biosecurity or lack of transparency among the industry and understanding where disease is and how they could avoid moving pigs if they had knowledge of where the disease occurred. So having some sort of transparency and information sharing in disease status. And of course, I mean, there was just a number of things listed. We got a lot of great information. So we compiled all of that information and kind of put it together in different buckets of responses. to be able to wade through that data a little bit better. We brought together an advisory group of industry leaders a couple of weeks ago. They met at the National Pork Board offices in Des Moines. 12 producer leaders. We also had two state pork association executive directors, and of course some of our swine health leaders at MPPC and National Pork Board. And we met for 2 days, waded through all of the data and the responses, and tried to just narrow it down to finding some strategic goals, some strategic priorities to suggest to the national boards, both the National Pork Board and the National Pork Producers Council, for their consideration. So that the advisory group met, they came up with some draft priorities, and they've turned those over to those will be presented to the National Pork Board and National Pork Producers Council in November. What we're doing right now at the staff level is putting together some background information on each of those strategic priority areas, so that we can demonstrate what's already been done in these areas and maybe what are some ideas for future direction that may lead to the work of the National Swine Health Strategy. So our next steps going forward is after we present those to the boards and get their feedback, make any course corrections that they may have related to the strategic direction, we'll take that draft back out to the state pork associations for their feedback and their consideration. Many of the state pork associations have meetings throughout, from December through February, leading up to the National Pork Industry Forum in March. And that's really our next big target goal, is to bring back a report on the progress of the development of this strategy to the delegates at the 2026 National Pork Industry Forum.
So let me summarize just a little bit, make sure that I understand the process. So you had a strategy group from a group of producers, smaller group of producers, National Pork Board staff, other industry experts, take the survey information, or you got them together, presented the survey information to that group and came up with some specific initiatives in each area. So for one instance, PRRS and PED viruses, right? Then another one that I heard you say was, working on biosecurity, working on transparency in the industry of health issues that might be geographically important to people to understand if you're moving pigs into the area or you can bypass the area. So kind of a strategy to increase awareness of disease transmission risk. And so then that'll be summarized and gotten back to the associations that then have meetings coming up in the next quarter, I would say 3 months or so. And then, of course, go back to the forum that occurs in February, March, if I recall. So did I get it right?
Yeah, that's right. And one thing I want to emphasize is that the producer leaders that we had on this advisory group are really, it's a very diverse group of producers. We had some veterinarians on the group too, but we were intentional about making sure that we had producer leaders there who could represent both large, small, the diversity and geography across our industry as well. So I think it was critical to have their, kind of crystallization of the direction that we want to go. We're excited to have that advisement done. And a couple other things that came out of there that I didn't mention were continue to keep an eye on foreign animal diseases and be ready to be prepared, continue those preparedness efforts. But yeah, that's the plan and the goal. And then beyond the update to the pork industry forum in March, that's when we plan to see some good practical work that will begin and try to lead the industry towards a healthier herd. The title of the goal of our National Pork Board strategic plan is improving the lives of our people and our pigs, recognizing that better health for the pigs leads to better outcomes for the people involved, the workers, the people that work with the pigs every day. And so that's really our goal, is to improve the lives of our people and our pigs.
Yeah, that's I think that's a great way to shape that, you know, overarching goal. And I couldn't agree more to having this producer-led initiative. You know, as a swine veterinarian, of course, I think that swine health is the most important thing. And so I think you'll have veterinarians on board for this topic, but it really has to be a producer-driven process, because if the producers want improvement in swine health, then we see that as an industry, as a priority for everybody and not just the veterinary group, right? So I think that's a really key part to this. And
optimize growth in baby pigs with Uniferon 200 iron dextrin from Pharmacosmos. Field studies have demonstrated 2 1-milliliter doses of Uniferon 200 can lead to a 7-pound increase at market weight, along with a 5% increase in average daily gain. 2 1-milliliter doses of Uniferon 200 are recommended to ensure enhanced growth and performance from weaning to market. To learn more, visit us.uniferon.com/research.
So as a long-term industry-led effort, what excites you the most about how this is taking shape?
You know, one of the things I enjoy the most, that I have enjoyed the most in my career, is just working on behalf of producers or working with producers to achieve, you know, some big goals. And I've had a lot of examples of that over the years, but this is certainly a really big endeavor to try to bring together producers and lead them in an effort to do something big and bold and aspirational. And so that's what's exciting, is to really build something that can make a difference for the industry on behalf of producers. And again, really to bring them together to make those decisions themselves. And that's, as you mentioned, you know, it has to be producer driven, has to be producer led. As veterinarians, we can go into a conference room and design a health plan or a protocol, but, you know, getting buy-in from the industry, you know, on the farm level, you know, as a veterinarian working on the farm, you got to get buy-in from the owner and the people at the farm level. Well, we're doing that just, you know, similarly, but on a much bigger scale, just trying to get everybody in the industry aligned on what is our target, what is our goal. So without that industry buy-in, it won't happen. And that's the thing that excites me the most, is just bringing together those industry participants and finding out what their needs are and then leading them to solutions. Not that any of that will be easy or quick or simple, but it's exciting because it's something big and aspirational.
Yeah, absolutely. So today we've been discussing how Dr. Dustin Otakovin and the National Pork Board is investing in the future of the pork industry. We've been focusing on the National Swine Health Strategy. And so, Dr. Otakovin, just some few final thoughts or take homes for our listeners from today's conversation.
And just summarize that this National Swine Health Strategy is kind of, it's a journey. It's a long-term approach. It's been exciting to see how we were able to gather so much industry input over the summer, bring that group of producers together here a couple of weeks ago. And I look forward to launching some work here in the near future that we'll have to continually update. It's going to be a kind of a living, ongoing process to coordinate our efforts. Underlying all of this is the need for collaboration amongst the different groups that are working in the area of swine health, so that we minimize duplication and maximize our efforts together.
Yeah, absolutely. A coordinated effort, but improving swine health as the overarching goal. So very good. So we're concluding our time together today. I want to say thank you to our listeners. If you have questions or comments, send those through your podcast platform. Also, if you liked our show, please give us a thumbs up.
It's time for our famous three. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Vaxinova, formulate to your needs, custom-made vaccines. AB Vista, intelligent nutritional solutions to boost pig health and performance. Nexus, powered by SAM, where science meets performance. SUNY, we provide value-added biotech solutions. Uniferon 200 from Pharmacosmos, the iron dextrin for baby pigs, which promotes faster growth. Better production performance starts with Eastman Choline Chloride. Visit eastman.com.
BinCentury is the global leader in animal feed supply chain management, monitoring tens of thousands of feed bins daily. Our technology helps pork and poultry producers, as well as commercial-scale feed mills, enter a new era of increased efficiency, lower costs, higher profitability, and improved employee safety. We transform how our customers run their operations by replacing feed inventory, guesstimates, and ineffective manual processes with rugged 3D sensors and software powered by artificial intelligence. The BinCentury operating advantage is clear, and it's why we're trusted by some of agriculture's biggest names. Learn more by visiting www.BinCentry.com today.
So before I let you go, Dusty, a trademark of our show is to ask our guest a few thought-provoking questions. So the first one, what is a book or resource that's your go-to in your area of expertise?
Well, not so much a book, but I'm a longtime member participant in the U.S. Animal Health Association, and their daily feed of news is just something I regularly check for information on a number of animal and public health and food safety topics. And so, you know, really, it's just it's a collection of daily news feeds. So really, it's information you could gather through other resources. And you know, there's some similarities across that and the AASV newsletter. And so, you know, there are a number of great resources out there. But U.S. Animal Health Association's daily email feed is one that I check regularly and helps to inform my information and awareness of animal health events.
Yeah, absolutely. I like those type of feeds. It's a quick resource for kind of really, you know, top of mind current things that are going on and cover a wide range of information. So how about something that's not related to the swine industry that you recommend others check out or we should be thinking on?
Yeah, another thing that I do nearly daily is there's a daily news summary called the Morning Brew, and they have an email update, and it's just kind of a smattering of news from news and tech and a little bit of finance updates, but it's a very quick read. And they also do a podcast. It's called the Morning Brew Daily, and I just find it to be both entertaining, informative. Kind of a fun way to get the news in a non-polar, you know, fashion. So, the Morning Brew Daily is kind of a daily go-to for information and news.
Yeah, I have checked it out before, and I agree. It's kind of a maybe less depressing way to get some new topics, some, you know, worldly topics. So yeah, great.
That's right.
So the last one, Dusty, is share with us an attribute or characteristic that you feel sets successful professionals apart from others.
Yeah, I think and there's a lot packed into trust. But trustworthiness, I think, is a very important attribute. And you know, I heard a speaker several years ago, and he's written a book called The Trust Edge, and certainly recommend that book for everyone too, The Trust Edge. And he talks about the eight pillars of trust and kind of what leads to that attribute of trust. So I think that, you know, if someone is trustworthy, you know, they're able to be looked to as a reliable resource, you know, as a team player. You know, one of the points that the author makes in his book is that trust is the currency of relationships. And I think that's so true too. You know, if you trust someone, you can quickly, interact and it's you can get a lot more done if you have a high level of trust. So yeah, I subscribe to that one, that trust is a good attribute of leaders.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's the foundation of all relationships, whether it's personal relationships or business relationships or community relationships, right? Is being able to trust someone, and then that creates transparency and openness. So very good, very good. Well, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. Excited to see where the Swine Health Initiative is going to go. And we'll see you next time on the Swine It Podcast.
All right. Thanks, Tara. Appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Thanks.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent with Appa Time Zone Hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.